Hi, everyone, and welcome to Book Hype, episode number 138. Today, we're going to be doing a little bit of a recap of Book Expo America, and then we're going to get into some book news, as usual. My name is Karen, and I'm joined by Brittany and Kristen. Hello, ladies.
Hi. Hello.
It's been a little while since we've done Book Hype. I feel a little guilty about it. I was away in New York. I did see Brittany, which was really cool. Talk more about that later because it's relevant. But
and finale season is always insane. Like, yeah. There's just a lot going on and it got away from us.
Yeah, it's been a little crazy. But hopefully we can get back on track. We really want to be consistent, but sometimes book hype kind of falls to the wayside. But we're going to get better about that. We always say that. And then something else comes up. But
if you're still listening, you know better.
We care. We care. I promise we care. But some exciting stuff going on our end is the book section on Hypeable has its own Facebook page now and its own Goodreads, which is really cool. So you can go to facebook.com/Hypeable Books and then find Hypeable Books on Goodreads as well. And the Facebook page is pretty much going to be just all of our book news and articles in one place. And then our Goodreads is going to have all of our reviews. And the Facebook page is being done by Danielle and the Goodreads is being done by Sonia. So really appreciative of them doing that. And I'm really excited. We have a cool logo and everything. Angelica did that for us. And I've been pretty giddy about it, not gonna lie.
Yeah, I mean, it's just nice. It's nice to have a spot for all the book news because not our book stuff didn't always end up on Facebook. You know, it just kind of slid by the wayside. So it's nice that now there will be a Facebook presence for all of that stuff. And there is a lot of it.
Yes, there is. There really is. And we're going to try to spread the love a little bit more. And I want to get into writing some more features and stuff. We do a lot of reviews now and a lot of excerpts and guest posts, which is awesome. And I really love it. But I want to get into some original content and start having people write a little bit more of that because I think it's really interesting, everybody's experiences with books and why they like or don't like certain things. We're going to jump into what we've been reading. I'm going to go first because mine's the shortest, but plot twist, I did read something, so that's awesome. Other plot twist, it was mostly pictures, but still, it was like 400 pages of mostly pictures. That's still a lot. I read Hyperbole and a Half by Ellie Broche, and I had heard of Hyperbole and a Half, but didn't really know what it was. So for anybody who isn't familiar, it is a blog where this girl just like draws these really terrible kind of cartoons, but like they're meant to be terrible. And she's so funny and she captions the pictures and she tells little stories and that kind of thing. And this is a collection of some of her stuff from the blog. And if you know the meme with the girl in like the pink dress and the yellow hair and the one that does like, she's got a broom and she's like, all the cleaning, I think is what it is. That's Hyperbole and a Half. Had you guys heard of this before?
Yeah.
I've heard of it. I have a couple of friends who read it and who love it. And yeah, I've never read it myself, but I've heard about it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I have one of my Facebook cover photos for a really, really, really long time was the like slides of her where it's just like, I forget what it says. It's something about spiders and it's like everything is spiders.
Yes.
It's just so good. And I am obsessed with her. I've given that book to so many people for like gifts and stuff. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just like the same expression on the girl's face and birthday sounds, not sounds, your hair is spiders, everything is spiders.
Yes.
I love her so much. I think all of her drawings and stories are fantastic. I love where she's moving and her dog keeps whistling. And the way she draws this dog, it's like you know that dog.
Yeah, you do. It's so
clearly.
Because the pictures are fairly crude. The dogs are a little bit better than the people, but it's still like fairly one-dimensional, except the way that she like twists its body and its head, like you can just imagine this dog. And it's so good. And for anybody who's like, I don't know if I'd be interested in that, it's really... It took me by surprise because like 50% of this book is like absolutely hilarious, tears in your eyes, like so, so funny. The other half is like really real, to the point where she has this chapter on depression and what it felt like for her to go through this. And I was so sad by the end of it, because a lot of the things she was talking about, I don't have depression, but I could relate to it. I've had feelings like that before. And she's so good at putting all these emotions into the fewest words possible. And it just hits you like a truck. And I'm like, I thought this book was going to be funny, and now I'm having like real emotions, and I relate to what she's saying. And it's a really good book if you want laughs and if you want to read something that's just like meaningful too. And there's a whole chapter on hot sauce that I really relate to.
That sounds fair.
So there's that. Yeah, very good. Highly recommended. 5 stars. Absolutely. Kristen, you have been reading a lot of stuff.
Well, it's been a while. It's been a bit of a break. Yeah. And some of these are reviews, so I won't talk very much about the ones I've reviewed, because you can read those on Hypeable. And yeah, I basically love everything. But there are a couple I don't get to talk about because I didn't review them because they came out a while back and I just never had time. I read 2 Mariana Zapata books in the last couple of weeks, months, whatever. I read Wait For It, which is her second most recent. It's the one that came out in December. And I also read Rhythm Chord and Malkin, I can't say it, both of which are classic Mariana Zapata. They are fantastic. Wait For It is kind of a bit of a continuance from Wall of Winnipeg. It's based around Vanessa's best friend, who we've, you know, got a bit of in Wall of Winnipeg. She was kind of a supporting character. She becomes the main character, and she's moved and taken her 2 nephews with her, and they've moved closer to her family because she's adopted her nephews because her brother passed away, and it's this whole thing. And it's just a really lovely little story, and I love all of her books, and this was yet another total winner. And Rhythm Chord and Malkin was it's like her rock star book, and I am a sucker for a good rock star novel, and this one actually works really well because it's about a girl who's her brother is in a band, and she's known that band forever, and they go on tour with this other group, and like it's her on the road with them doing their merchandise stuff while also meeting this guy who's in this other band and all that. It was really well done. And again, Slow Burn Queen, it's just fantastic. After that, I've read Rookie Move and Hard Hitter, both by Serena Bowen. I'm trying to catch up. I'm so far behind on her stuff. I have not read Pipe Dreams yet, but that's next. I'm just waiting for the audiobook to come in. But both of those are great. They're kind of continuances from the Ivy years. The first book is about Leo Trevi, who is DJ Trevi's brother, who we read about in the last Ivy years.
Aww.
Yeah. So the first book is Rookie Move, and that's about Leo. And then, and his ex-girlfriend, who we heard a lot about in DJ's book. And then Hard Hitter is so good, because it's not, you see Callahan and Hartley in that one, like you meet them. They're not the main characters. It's about a guy named Dooley who plays with Leo Trevi, but it's so, so, so good. I really loved Hard Hitter. Rookie Move is great, but Hard Hitter just knocked out of the park. And Sonia has told me that Pipe Dreams is going to be even better. She's like, you're going to love it. So I'm dying waiting for that one. And then the last 3 are all books that I reviewed. I Knew You Were Trouble by Lauren Lane, which is fantastic. It's still in the Oxford world, and it's kind of a little bit of a continuance because she shows you a couple of the old Oxford stiletto family people, but you also learn about the other side of Oxford, which is like the advertising side, not the editorial side. And it seems like she's setting it up to write a few more novels in that vein. But she also told us in her newsletter last week that she doesn't want to write any more Oxford stilettos that are digital only. And right now, the deal she has with, I believe it's Love Swept that puts those out, is that those books are digital only and she can't get print copies. So it really breaks people's hearts that they can't own a print copy of her books. So she's trying to figure out how that's going to work. I think she still has some more Oxford stuff in her. She's just trying to figure out the business side of it. So that's really exciting. Dating You, Hating You by Christina Loren is fantastic. They've got a couple of books coming out this year that I'm really excited about. And this one didn't have me super excited by the premise, but once I started reading it, it just took off. It's really, really great. The like combativeness between these two, like the competitiveness, is so hilarious. And just, it's got a lot of that Christina Loren flair. If you've ever read anything by them, this book fits in very nicely. And then last but not least is a YA book by Aaron Watt. I read When It's Real, which is their little bit of a rock star romance. It's about a like teen heartthrob rock god, whatever, kid who is having like PR issues. So they bribe an employee kind of to get her sister to like pretend to date him, and they decide to pay her, and it's this whole thing. But it's really, really cute. It's really well done, and it's definitely a little more YA than I think Paper Princess and the rest of the Royals books were. It's a little more approachable and really, really charming and sweet.
Awesome. So much I want to read that I'm like, I have my own list, let alone the stuff that like I want to read on the side. So this is just crazy.
Yeah.
Brittany, I'm really excited for you to talk about your books because I asked you to look into all of these and you did because you are amazing. So I'm really curious if I've been doing a good job throwing you books that you like. Well, you can tell me the truth.
I'll be able to talk about two out of the three because the third one I just started today.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've only gotten a chapter in because let's be real, there was a really good Hallmark movie marathon on today and I was a little bit distracted. So much so that I hung up on my mom because she called me at 12:45 and the movie was ending at 1 o'clock. And I was like, listen, I just can't talk until 1 o'clock because I'm really invested in this movie right now. She's like, what? And I'm like, I gotta go.
That is amazing.
Anyway, speaking of Hallmark movie marathons and weddings, I read Once and For All by Sarah Dessen. And oh, let me tell you, this woman can write. This is her 13th book, and I have read all 13 many times over. Wow. And I got to speak with Sarah Dessen for 20 minutes on her birthday, on the book release day, and it was fabulous. So this book, Once and For All, is about the daughter of a wedding planner and who falls, like, has like this like whirlwind romance one night on a beach with a guy she meets, and like they make the whole long distance thing work, and then something tragic happens and she loses that romance. I won't spoil what happens exactly, but it's been almost a year and she's going off to college and working with her mother. And there's this new guy who rolls in with like, you know, that perfect hair, except for that one strand that just won't stay put. And he's like so messy and rich and sloppy and spoiled and is like a serial dater. And so they kind of make a pact where she has to, you know, go on a different, like go on like at least, I think it's like 5 or 6 dates a week for 6 weeks, and he has to stay in a committed relationship for 6 weeks. And then whoever loses, the other gets to pick their next boyfriend, girlfriend, or date, whatever it winds up being. So anyway, that book was just wonderful. And I got to ask Sarah Dessen about the parents in that book, which I thought was interesting because you're starting like this book in particular. I just wanted to know more about like what the mom was doing and what her best friend was doing. And she says that since becoming a parent, she's recognized a shift a little bit in her writing to give the parents a little bit more because now she's a mom and she's gotten married and, you know, she wants to like explore those relationships a little bit more and give more focus on that side. And I guess I picked up on it because I'm been reading her for 10 years. So I've kind of grown up and I'm out of high school and over the high school phase, but still love these books. And so that was interesting to get to talk to her about the shift to more adult characters in her books. But then I read Here Lies Danielle Tate by Kristen Terrell. And this one was, I told Karen, when Karen sent me the description of this, I was like, this seems like the plot of this ABC drama that I totally watched every time after Once Upon a Time. And then literally the book description pitched it as such.
Yeah.
So, and the first like 7 chapters, you're like, wow, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Like, did the show come first or did this book come first? Because it's very beat for beat similar. And so going in, I felt like I was at a little bit of a disadvantage where this child appears out of nowhere and he happens to be like the long lost son of this like very prominent family. And it turns out that he's not really who he says he is, but the family's kind of buying it. But then people are covering up stuff left and right. But this novel did have a great twist in that the apparently not everything, the people who came after the original son who disappeared, who this kid's pretending to be, are now coming after him. So yeah, it was a little bit of a thriller and very, very interesting. I did enjoy it. I read it in like 2 sittings. And then this last one, which I'm really excited to really sit down and get into, is Unsub by Meg Gardner. I think it's Gardner. And it was inspired by her like fascination and fear of growing up in the time of the Zodiac Killer. And it sort of takes a little bit of that type of narrative where a man is seemingly killing against a pattern and, you know, this just community of living in fear, but it's really about the people who are involved in hunting him down. So I think that'll be interesting. And it's one in a series, so that should be good for me. So good job, Karen. Keep it up.
Thank you. I'm ridiculously proud because Jen has been doing this for a really long time and she knows how to give people books. She kind of is like, okay, tell me what kind of things you like, or like she just picks up on it from listening to us talk about books. And she could literally hand me a book I've never heard of before and I know I'll love it because she just kind of gets the things that I like. And I've seen her do it with other people too. Me, not so much. I'm not so experienced in that kind of thing, so it's going to be a little hit or miss, but I've been having a lot of fun being like, hey, does this sound cool? And I've had a couple of people be like, well, not really, but I'm glad so far that I've been doing okay. And I didn't realize Unsub was part of a series.
Yeah. That's what my little printout says.
That's cool. I mean, yeah. And it does sound interesting. So I might have to look into that at some point. And that kind of segues actually into our book bites, which is that I'm just curious what you guys have planned for your summer reading. What are your goals for the next few months? Because I basically just want to get back on track with actually reading stuff. It's been so hard for me. And I didn't even set up a Goodreads challenge this year. I do it every year. I've been doing it for years. Usually it's like 50 to 75 books, which is a lot for me. I know Kristen reads like 200 a year, but you know, she's crazy. And it didn't even occur to me. It's June. And I was like, oh yeah, I didn't set that up this year. And I didn't even put some of the books that I have read this year on Goodreads. And I'm always like super particular about doing that as soon as I finish, because for me, it's really gratifying. It's like checking something off my list. So I just want to get back into the swing of things. I've got a little pile next to my bed right now, and I'm going to try to slowly get through it. And I reorganized my reviews that I have coming up, and I'm just hoping that slowly but surely I can get back on track with reading at least one book a week. That'll be good enough for me. I think I can handle that. So fingers crossed. But Brittany, I like your reading plan, and I might join you at some point.
Yeah, so my summer reading plan / goal really is before October, and that's to reread His Dark Materials, because obviously the new book comes out October 19th. So I have the box set because I can't find one of my copies on the box that was pretty reasonably priced. So I just rebought all 3 of them. And they've been sitting on my nightstand for quite a while, but I've had other things to get to and pick up. But I'm excited to start them, because right now there is actually like a read along going on Philip Pullman's Facebook that started about 10 days ago.
Oh.
And there's little like trivia questions and like sort of like keeping pace with where you should be in the books to read along with other fans if you want to. And there's prizes and giveaways on that page. So I'm not actively involved in that, but it is something that is happening. So other people are rereading these books as well. So I'm pumped to dive back into them.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. That might be the motivation I need to reread them, because I would really like to. And I know I've talked about this before. The first time I read them, I just had trouble with them. I'm not really sure why. And I think I read them in college. It's not like I was super young or anything, but I think I'm better read now. I kind of understand things in a way. My brain works on a higher level, if you can believe it, now post-college than it did before. I'm much better at kind of reading into things and being analytical. So hopefully this time around I can fall in love and maybe start disliking the movie for the sake of my friendships.
Yeah, you have a lot.
Yeah. Kristen, the first half of your summer reading plan, I don't think anybody's going to be surprised by.
Definitely not. I've only been singing this book's praises since at least January, February, March, somewhere in there. My first goal for the summer is to make everyone I know read Roar by Cora Carmack, which is now out and available, and you can get it in ebook or physical copy, and check your bookstore, go to Barnes & Noble. I promise you it's worth it. I love this book, and I want it to do so well. I want her to have all kinds of success so that there is no chance that we don't get the rest of them. I'm pretty sure that they signed her up for a 3-book series, and this book ends in such a great place, and it's kind of a little bit cliffhangery, but not really. Cora doesn't believe that she left it on a cliffhanger, but the rest of us are like, come on! So I will continue to sing Roar's praises until I'm voiceless, because it's such an interesting, different kind of book. It's fantasy. It's not dystopia. It's not supposed to be our world. It's a whole new place with a totally different like set of problems and things to think about. And I love Roar. So I currently have a girl that I work with, Heidi, reading it. She borrowed my ARC this weekend and is reading it, and I'm really excited to see what she has to say next week, so cross your fingers. And my other item for this summer is to finally catch up on Serena Bowen's stuff. She has put out probably like 8 books in the last year and a half or so, and I read Him, which is their MM novel, and I loved it. But I kept putting off reading Us, which is the sequel that her and Elle Kennedy wrote. And I just kept putting it off, and I don't know why. Like, I literally have no idea why.
The same way. That was the weird thing, is like, Him was so good that I didn't want to revisit them, because I was like, no, it's so perfect.
Yeah.
I know that I'm going to have to go through like more problems until we get to the happy ending again. And like, my heart couldn't take it at that moment. So maybe you were the same way.
I guess so. I don't know. It's just, I kept putting it off. And Sonia finally like lit a fire under my ass and was like, Kristen, you need to read this book. Like, she was like, how dare you? And a little bit offended. So I do want to read Us and then finally read Good Boy and Stay, which are kind of spinoffs from Him and Us. It involves some of the side characters, I guess, or something. But yeah, so I want to get caught up on Serena Bowen. There's a bunch of things I'm behind on, which I'm slowly digging my way out of. But hers are the ones that I really regret not keeping up with. So I'll get there.
Yeah, and I just read Sonia's review of Stay, and I was like, I need to read this book right now. So
she loves it. And she she read Pipe Dreams, which is the other Serena Bowen one that I have to finish. And she read it like 4 or 5 times before release day. Like she had reread it like 4 or 5 times before it ever came out, and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I wish I had time. But she really liked it. So I'm like, all right, I need to get back on track.
Is there higher praise than that?
I mean, really. There just isn't.
Yeah. All right, well, I want to get into the main part of the episode, which is our usual wrap-up of Book Expo America, which happens in New York usually. It was in Chicago last year, but they went back to New York. And for anybody who's not familiar, this is a convention of sorts for books, for professionals. So you get a lot of librarians and booksellers and authors and people like us in the media and the press going there and getting free books, basically. Not necessarily in return for reviews, but that's obviously, like, you know, people are pitching you the books and trying to get you on board so that you'll go out and tell people about them. And it's usually a crazy, crazy time, but it's pretty good. And usually we have a whole team of people there, and it was pretty quiet this year. I was the main person there, so didn't get to do as much as I usually do, but had a lot of fun meeting with people. That's probably my favorite part of BEA, is that, you know, you can go up to authors and get your book signed. Some of them are ticketed, some of them aren't, and sometimes you can meet really awesome people, and they're just so excited for you to pick up their books. It's really a great time, and that's actually how I found Alex Bracken's books, is because the first year I went to BEA, that's where I found Darkest Minds, and I got to meet her, and I liked her so much because she was so nice and she was so appreciative that I immediately read the book and fell in love with the book. And it's just a really great way to, like, meet new authors, but also meet people whose books you've been reading for a while. And it's a really great time. And we're lucky enough that we get to go to some, their parties or brunch, but, like, they also pitch us the books. So I got to drink mimosas and hear editors talk about these books that they have coming out. And it's a really fun time and a really great way to also meet people who do what you do. I made a new friend there and we hung out the whole time, and it was just a really good time. And of course, you can't go wrong with the free books. But another huge perk is that I saw Brittany, which was a lot of fun.
She did.
I did.
You got something very special.
I did. So we went and had brunch with a couple of our friends. And there was a yard sale going on just down the street, and we're walking along, and there's this stack of movies. They were like a dollar each or something. And right in there, guess what was in there? I bet you can't.
The Pride and Prejudice Colin Firth miniseries.
Yeah. And she bought the whole stack of movies. Have you watched them yet?
I watched two of them.
Okay.
So they were all Ginger and Fred Astaire. Mm-hmm. They're all old movies. Wonderful. Yep.
And I knew as soon as she saw the stack and I saw what was in the stack, I knew what was going to happen. I walked away because I was, like, looking at some other stuff, and I turn around and she goes, "Look at what I just bought. This is for you." And I was like, I called it. Like, I knew that was going to happen. So,
and Karen, of course, did not have a bag, so she had to leave our meeting just holding this DVD.
I was going through, like, the subway, and I was on the train holding this single thing in my hand, and I was like, I wonder what people think I'm doing right now. It's so random.
Like the walk of shame.
It's like,
no,
your security,
I have not watched
blanket.
This movie.
You carry around Pride and Prejudice.
I should have put, like, a post-it on it that said, "Ask me if I've seen this miniseries."
Oh my gosh. So yes, I do own that now. I haven't had a chance to watch it, but I will, I promise. I don't have any Jane Austen update this week. I should have done something. I'll have to try to do something for next time, because that's a must at this point. But yeah, it's always great seeing Brittany. And next year, Kristen said maybe she'll come, so.
Yeah, I really do want to go. Like, I wish I could have gone this year. I just didn't really realize it was coming up so fast. And then it was like, ta-da, BookCon is here. I definitely want to hit BEA next year. And there's a lot of good, fun, romance-y things that were going on this year that hopefully next year will continue.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things that happened at BookCon, well, BookCon/BEA, was there was a romance table, and they just had, like, the men from the covers just standing there. And I was like, okay, I get it. This is fun. See,
I went to my first book convention this year in March. I went to a PolyCon, which is Jen Armentrout's, like, it's based on her series of books, the Apollyon series. And she has all of her cover models there. So, like, it's Jen Armentrout and these four ridiculously hot guys just following her around all weekend. And it cracks you up. Like, she can't go anywhere without them. So it's just her and this gorgeous men. And then they take pictures with everyone. Like, they love these conventions.
I love,
like,
it. Oh, my God.
They have so much fun goofing around themselves and, like, taking pictures. And, yeah, it's insane. But they signed all of, like, they signed my books that they were in. Like, the books that corresponded to the model, they signed it too. So it was really fun.
I love that. Yeah. They just must be so, like, living the dream.
Right?
And it's gotta be fun for the fans too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. And we were talking about BookCon too. So Book Expo America happens Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Although this year, like, Wednesday wasn't a real day. So it was really just Thursday and Friday, which was kind of weird. But anyway, BookCon is open to the general public. So you can get tickets to go to that. And that's Saturday and Sunday. I had plans to go, but I kind of avoided it because BookCon gets insane. And I had a couple other things to do during the weekend. So I just kind of steered clear. I know that there was Laura. I was going to meet with Laura and one of our listeners, and that just never happened. So I'm sorry about that. But it would have been fun. But yeah, it's just a crazy, crazy time. And she said it was nuts down there. So kind of part of me is glad that I skipped out on it. But I really wanted to go through some of the books that were pitched to me because, I mean, these editors and the PR people that I've met with, they know how to do their job because every time they bring out a book and they're like, okay, let me take 2 minutes and tell you about this. And I'm like, yes, I will read that. They all sound so amazing. And I just want to get your guys' take on if you think any of these sound good, and how they're pitched is sometimes really interesting. But the first one was, it doesn't really need much of an introduction. It's Miles Morales by Jason Reynolds. This is another one of Marvel's novels coming out about the superheroes kind of in their teens and that sort of thing. And he was at the Disney dinner that I went to. And one of the reasons why I love the Disney dinner is because there's usually like 8 to 10 tables and each table has an author at it. And then you have all of us sitting around and we can talk to the author throughout dinner. And all of them have their little moment to shine. They get about like 3 minutes, I think, to sort of talk about the story behind the book and all this other stuff. And he was like so interesting. And you can tell how much this story meant to him. And I love hearing about those sort of things because it makes me invested in the author. And then that automatically makes me invested in the book too. So very excited to get into this one. Although, to be fair, I have not yet read one of Marvel's books, not even the Iron Man one, because I got 8 pages into that and kind of hated it. But maybe this one will be different. We'll have to see. The next one I saw was Invictus by Ryan Grodin. And this is sort of like a fun space opera time travel kind of book. And I got to listen to her talk about this as well. And she wrote Wolf by Wolf. I don't know if you guys remember when that came out. It was like the World War II alternate history book that Danielle was really into.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is totally different from that. She's like, I needed to take a break because that one was really heavy and there was a lot of historical stuff. This is like, she said this is Firefly meets Doctor Who, basically. And I was like, well, you can't go wrong when you pitch it like that. So it's called Invictus, and the cover is really beautiful, and it just sounds like a really fun time. They're like thieves going through time, stealing things from history that nobody will miss, and selling them on the black market, and kind of, you know, the hijinks that they get up to.
Yeah, the cover for that one sticks out to me. Mm-hmm. Like, Karen showed me all of her books when she got back, of course. And so, you know, I have cover art in my head for some of these. And yeah, Invictus is one of those where the cover art is just so gorgeous. And then you get the general idea of like the whole space time travel thing. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, I see it. Okay. Yeah. It sounds really cool. I'm interested to see, you know, who reads it and what they think and go from
there. Yeah. The Hearts We Sold by Emily Lloyd-Jones sounds like an episode of Supernatural. A girl basically sells her heart to a demon, and I was really into that, just for like the horror aspect of it. But I will have to say my favorite book out of this convention is All Rights Reserved by Gregory Scott Katsoulis. It sounds like 1984, which is like an automatic in for me, but you basically have to pay for all of the words you say and all of the gestures you make. And one girl unknowingly starts a rebellion by staying silent. And it seems ridiculous now paying for the words you say. And like, I'm sorry is like $10 or something. And, you know, it makes you think about what you say and how you say it and being careful with your words and all of that. But so it sounds ridiculous and like, oh, this will never happen. Except, I don't know, it's not that far-fetched. And especially with social media and being careful with how you say things, it just feels really relevant right now. And I'm so, so interested in reading this one.
Yeah, the premise for that one is incredibly interesting. It almost reminds me, and this is a terrible comparison, of that Justin Timberlake movie where time was currency.
Oh yeah.
Like it kind of gives me that headspace, like, okay, it's, you know, it's a different world, it's a different time, and instead of time being currency, here you're paying for the words you're speaking. So like it's, you know, the same basic, you know, idea. There's some similarity in there somewhere.
And I had sort of an embarrassing moment where I was leaving the party where they were pitching these books, and I went to say bye to my contact, and she was like, all right, out of all of the books, which one did you like best? And I was like, oh, hands down, All Rights Reserved. It sounds amazing. I love 1984. I feel like this is in the same vein. Like, definitely this is the book I'm probably most excited to get out of everything I've seen this weekend. And she goes, oh, that's great. Here's the author standing right next to me. And I was like, well, it's a good thing I said nice things about it. He's like, thank you. I was like, you're welcome. I have to go now. Bye. Devils and Thieves by Jennifer Rush has magic and mystery and a hot motorcycle gang leader. And I'm not going to lie, the hot motorcycle gang leader kind of sold me on the
book. It's an interesting combination of things.
Is that wrong? Well, and the cool thing is the main character in this one, she can see magic, and a whole bunch of her fellow witches go missing. And so she uses that power to track them down. And it's something that like she kind of gets sick. And so she has to be really careful with the magic that she uses and being around other magic and stuff too, except all of a sudden this is the only thing that might save everybody. So I think that's kind of a cool way to look at magic and having it, but also it being something that hurts you. I thought that was kind of an interesting twist on it. Fireblood by Ellie Blake is the sequel to Frostblood, which I hadn't heard before, but I think is probably something maybe other people have, because it sounds really cool. And I think it did get some attention, but Frostblood was about a girl who has fire powers, but she lives in the Ice Kingdom, and kind of why that was problematic. And then Fireblood is her going to like her land where she's originally from and people not necessarily trusting her. And I just like the idea of like Fireblood and Frostblood and the magic that kind of lives in their veins and it crossing over into those two very different sides of that. The Bells by Danielle Clayton. I sat next to her at the Disney dinner and she was so cool. I was kind of in awe. This one is about girls who have the ability to control their appearance, like down to their bone structure. And I just wrote in here, and how it can be used for evil. But they take advantage of their powers and kind of not keep them prisoner, but definitely use them. And she talked about growing up as a young Black girl and how she went to the mall one time and heard these guys talking about, oh, I wish my girlfriend looked like Demi Moore and, you know, all these other women who were like blonde hair and blue eyes and long legs and skinny. And she just never looked like that. And she used to take magazines from the library, nonetheless, and cut them out and paste them in this little room that her parents made for her in her closet where she used to go in and read. And she kind of became obsessed with appearances and the fact that she didn't look like these women that these men were talking about. And it's definitely a commentary on how dangerous it can be to be obsessed with your looks and trying to look like other people rather than being yourself. And I think that one's going to have a really important message for people to get behind.
That one sounds great.
Yeah, I think it's a huge book too. It's like, oh, yeah. Absolutely massive. And she's like, I always feel really embarrassed by how big it is, but we couldn't cut anything out. And I was like, well, I mean, if it's good, then who cares? Probably be better to have all those pages in there by the end. The Fifth Doll by Charlie Ann Holmberg. A girl finds magical nesting dolls that can control the lives of the people in her village. That one sounded kind of creepy to me, but cool. And Lost in Arcadia by Sean Gander is, Arcadia is a simulated reality. And that's, I'm really into those kind of books, which is why I like Ready Player One and some of the movies that have come out recently about that sort of thing. And this one was really interesting because they're like, okay, so there's a crazy person for the president in this book who built a wall between Mexico and the United States, and it's plastered in advertisements, except he wrote this book well before Trump was ever a thing.
Oh, boy.
So talk about being relevant.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And then the last couple I have here is The Naturalist by Andrew Main, who's a magician. And this one was described to me as a monster techno thriller, and I was sold. Like, don't need to hear anything else. I don't know why.
Interesting description.
Yeah, it just works for me. Secondborn by Amy A. Bartol. Firstborns rule society. Secondborns are property of the government, and thirdborns are not tolerated.
Interesting.
Kristen.
I'd be property of the government.
You would be. You would be.
Yeah, I would rule society.
I would too. I'm an only child, so technically firstborn.
Well, my brothers are not tolerated, so that's... Yeah.
They don't that's even get accurate. Into fourthborn, so I wonder what that is.
Sorry, Brandon. You're in trouble.
Goodbye. And then the last one is The 100th Queen and The Fire Queen. The Fire Queen is the one that's coming out soon. That's by Emily R. King. And The 100th Queen is about this tournament where... I guess you have to like fight to the death to become the next queen, but there's also magic in it. And she is, the main character is like very sickly, except you find out that it's actually because of this magic she possesses. And the covers are stunning. And I'm not doing a very good job of pitching this, but I was instantly like, yes, I definitely want to read those. So look into those. I think they're going to be great. I know I just talked for a really long time, so I apologize for that. But was there anything in here that you guys are like, oh, yes, that's definitely something I'm going to read?
Definitely All Rights Reserved and The Bells. Those two really stuck out to me. And Invictus, I guess, because, you know, time travel.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm basically going to wait till you tell me which ones I have to read. Karen has to read them all, and then she'll tell me. No. But yes. I do think All Rights Reserved sounds really cool. And I don't even remember seeing Secondborn. But the whole idea of that is really interesting. And being a Secondborn, it kind of makes me a little intrigued to see how that whole thing works. So I would definitely be on board for either of those for sure. And The Bells, I think, sounds really cool too. So we'll see. We'll see what I have time for.
Yeah.
Steal books off Karen's shelf.
That's basically how it goes. I've wanted to steal from you too. So.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to happen. All right. I want to get into a little bit of book news now because we have been away for a little while. And as usual, it's going to be a lot of adaptation news. I'm sorry. This is just kind of how it happens these days. But there are some pretty cool stories here. And the first one is that not only is Chris Colfer's The Land of Stories being brought to screen, but guys, he's going to direct it himself.
The man is like... just chock full of talent, and it's just pouring out of him in a million different ways. Oh, Chris Colfer. I mean, I love the audiobooks, especially for The Land of Stories, mm-hmm. because he reads them, which is just great. And I'm looking forward to it. I liked the first one, and I think it'll be nice because it will be a young movie. Like, it's going to be made for kids. Like, those books are made to be for younger kids. So I'm intrigued. I can't wait to see what he does with it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he has a knack for getting what's in his head onto screen, as we saw with Struck by Lightning. So, you know, all of this is really, he creates such a vivid world on paper that I think he'll do a great job of getting everything from the page to the screen. And since it's all on him, I'm sure A, that it'll be overwhelming, but B, it'll be really faithful and really capture the magic.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I already would have seen this movie anyway, just because I do really like the books, but the fact that he's directing it is just like another point, because how can you really go wrong with that? Everything's got to be approved by him, and it's going to be, I mean, he's already told the story he's wanted to tell, but now he gets to tell the film he wants to tell. And I think there's probably going to be some changes, because there always is when you adapt a film. But if he, you know, okays all of it, then how can you not get behind that? Unless he's like terrible at directing, but like he's not going to be. So it's fine. The next story is about Kenan Lonsdale joining Simon versus the Homo sapiens agenda. And he is from The Flash. He plays Wally. And Kristen, you wrote up this story, and you were pretty excited about this.
Yes, I did. Yeah, if you don't watch The Flash, you may recognize him as Uriah from Insurgent / Ascendant / whatever that TV movie is that we shall not talk about. He's like listed on the cast to be involved in that, but God knows what's going to happen there. Yeah, so you may recognize him from that. But I am just so impressed by the way they let this come out. He's playing, you know, if you've read Simon versus the Homo sapiens agenda, you know what his character is. But I love that even in the character announcement, they didn't really give much away as to who is what and what's going on in that book. And the filming is already done. They held this off until filming was complete to announce it. So it's very interesting how they did this, and I'm very excited about it because I just love him and I'm happy to see him in anything.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, I cannot take another Simon casting announcement. This film has to be done by now. And like you said, it is done, and they held the announcement. But I was like, how long is this movie taking? I feel like we've been talking about it for years.
I know.
And that is one hell of a cast.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You look at that list and it's like, wow, like this is just chock full of people who have, their careers have either exploded in the last year or so, or they've been around forever, like Jennifer Garner and Josh Duhamel and all of them. So yeah, it's going to be a really good movie.
I hope so. There's a lot riding on it. A lot of people are very excited. So I'm going to have to see what happens.
Next, I guess it's my turn. I just want to chat a second about Passion Flicks, which, okay, right off the bat, I hate the name of this. I hate it. It sounds like a porn channel, and it bothers me. But Netflix is starting up a whole, like, I believe it's a separate app. Like, it's not going to be in Netflix. You're going to have a subscription to Passion Flicks in order to watch any of these. But they're starting up a romance novel adaptation channel, literally taking romance novels that we love, these books that I love, and are adapting them to the screen. There's been a lot of talk about them in the last couple of months. I believe there's a Colleen Hoover book that's being done, and she's huge. Everybody knows Colleen Hoover. I believe they just announced that Kay Bromberg's Driven series is going to be on Passion Flicks. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff. The one I wrote up, I was lucky enough to kind of help with the announcing of Jill Shalvis's Trouble with Mistletoe, which is like a Christmassy one that they're going to be putting out in December. So I'm interested to see how this works. Right now, they're still trying to, like, get the whole thing off the ground, and you can actually become a member, like a founding member of Passion Flicks, and get a whole bunch of extra fun stuff. If you want to get into all of that, check out the article for the Trouble with Mistletoe thing. I kind of outlined what's going on with Passion Flicks in there too. It's just interesting. I wish they had a better name. It just sounds gross, but I'm really excited to see some of these books that honestly, I think Hollywood should be mining the romance industry for good rom-coms, because there's a million out there that they should be making into amazing rom-coms. But since they aren't, I'm happy to see they're getting some attention.
Yeah, definitely. Brittany, what do you think of this? Do you have any interest in checking any of these out?
Well, at the top of the episode, I just said that I hung up on my mother during a Hallmark movie marathon. So yes, I have a little bit of interest in checking this out. I definitely do. Depending, like, I can tell within the first 5 minutes of a Hallmark movie if I'm into it or not, but I've seen probably hundreds of them. That these Netflix adaptations will be much better than the Hallmark movies, because they're based on books that are already well established and beloved, instead of just, we need to churn out 46 Christmas movies this year.
Truth.
And
actual.
Cast Cameron Candace Burr in all of them. So yeah, I think that it'll be a little tighter of a story over there on Passion Flicks. Plus, with these Hallmark movies, they only kiss in the last 2 minutes of every single movie. Like, you literally have to wait until the end, like the last possible second of the movie, for them to get together. And I think that these will offer a little bit more conflict. So looking forward to that.
What do you think of the name?
Hate it.
Yeah, it's
hate
awful.
It so much.
I'm really hoping that they do some sort of like change later or something. I don't know. It's just weird. It's awkward. Like, telling people you were watching Passion Flicks all weekend makes me feel awkward.
Yeah, no, you don't post to any social media about watching Passion Flicks.
That just sounds bad.
You can just say Netflix and then
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I, as you guys know, I am not a rom-com kind of person. I like my action movies with lots of explosions and gory deaths. However, I can't deny that if they start adapting some of the books that Kristen has recommended to me, like, you better believe I'm going to read those, because those books are amazing and I want to keep reading more of them. And if they hit the screen like this, like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be able to resist. So there's one solid way to get me to watch a rom-com.
Yes, come into my web.
We actually do have some actual book news that has nothing to do with an adaptation. Huzzah! New York City's Books of Wonder bookstore announced a new branch, which is pretty exciting. The current store is on 18 West 18th Street, and it's getting another branch on the Upper West Side. And if you guys don't know, it's kind of like a children's young adult bookstore, and it's really huge for getting authors in there. As the article says, they've had heavyweights like Rick Riordan and Cassandra Clare in there, and they just have events all the time, and it's kind of a go-to place for a lot of book events, which is awesome. And I didn't realize this, but it was, it inspired the bookstore in You've Got Mail, which maybe is common knowledge to everybody else, but totally new information to me.
And Book Hype has taken some trips there.
Yes.
We've all gone, like, when we're in the city, we're like, well, what do we want to do? We're like, I guess we'll go to Books of Wonder.
Yeah.
I know I've been there the one time, but I've been there. And I knew that You've Got Mail was, like, based on a real bookstore, but I didn't know it was Books of Wonder. So now that makes me even more excited.
Yeah, that's really cool. And the other thing, Pam wrote this up on Hypeable, and she says in here, in an era where independent bookstores are shuttering everywhere, it's really refreshing to hear good news from one for a change. And I can't highlight that enough, because you hear all the time that all of these bookstores, even the ones that aren't independent bookstores, like, they are struggling and they've shut down, and the atmosphere has changed so much in retail. And the idea that an independent bookstore is expanding is really exciting. So I'm glad there's going to be a second location, if only because that also means you can have twice as many events and twice as many authors showing up there. So really cool for those who live in and around New York City and those who visit it
It's noteworthy because it is not really for adults. It's a YA, like I think the YA market is really driving this expansion because it the Books of Wonder isn't huge by any means, and it's mainly children's books. Mm-hmm. The YA section only over the past few years has really expanded. And I was actually talking to Sarah Dessen about this in our interview, and I thought it was really interesting. She said that like when she first started writing, her books were like on the same shelf as like Corduroy and like The Hungry Little Caterpillar because there wasn't a YA section. She's like, now you can go in and get as specific as like paranormal teen romance. There's a whole section for that. So she's like, it's this boom in YA. It's like such an exciting time for YA and anyone who wants to write for YA because there's markets for everything. So I think it's awesome that they're reaping the benefits of that success and people are actually buying books.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, we should also mention, I don't know when this is coming out, but it is Independent Bookstore Week. So go to your independent bookstore.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yay.
Huzzah. I should have known that. I did not know that.
I only saw it this morning on Twitter. Okay.
That is really cool though. All right. Okay. So back to the adaptation news. We took a mini break. Now we're back. Unearthed by Amy Kaufman and Megan Spooner. I've heard a lot about this book, although didn't know anything what it was about. Just know people are really excited about it. This is going to be adapted for the big screen. And if you haven't heard about it, I'll just read the first sentence here because I feel like this kind of sums it up. It says, when Earth intercepts a message from a long extinct alien race, it seems like the solution the planet has been waiting for. I kind of like the idea of that on its own. And again, another YA novel being adapted for the big screen. Hopefully it just kind of continues the trend. And I know Brittany's over adaptations, but I still love them. So Kristen, yeah. You wrote this up. Are you excited about this at all?
I had not heard of this prior to someone sending me the link and saying, this is worth a write-up. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. But reading the description and like finding out that they've got a couple of people who are writing the script are like major action sci-fi movie people. Like they know what they're doing. I'm actually really excited to see, A, to read this book in next January when it comes out, and B, to see that kind of, you know, take shape and see it on screen. So yeah, it sounds really cool. I'm definitely on board.
Yeah, Doug Liman is directing this. He did Edge of Tomorrow, Born Identity, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. So I feel like that's a pretty big name to have attached to this. So I think it's going to be a big deal once it actually gets rolling, which is pretty cool. And I think that Kristen, actually either one of you can talk about this. Kristen did write up the article. I know nothing about this, but Lauren Graham, best known from Gilmore Girls, is going to be adapting a YA novel called Windfall.
Yeah, and it's not her first, which surprised me. When I wrote this up, which I wrote it up a little while ago, I was like interested to know that she's written a script for... It's the show, the movie's called Wedding for One, and she also adapted Someday, Someday, Maybe, which is her own fictional novel that she wrote like a couple years ago. She adapted that for the CW. My guess is it just never took off, or they never made it into pilot season. So she's been writing screenplays, which I had no idea. I knew she wrote, but I didn't know that that was something she had been playing around in. So yeah, just really cool that her production company is, you know, is doing really well and has gotten the go ahead to adapt this, and that she gets to be the one to write the screenplay. It's just very cool.
I've never heard of the book before, but Windfall is about like this girl and her friend, and they buy a lottery ticket and they win, and they're young, they're 18. So like, you know, that obviously changes everything for them. But I've been most excited about Lauren Green adapting The Royal We, because I think that she's just like a good person to do it. I like her writing a lot, and I know that she gets really nervous, and she talked about this like in her book and in a few interviews that I've listened to with her about adapting and, you know, flexing a muscle that she's not quite used to flexing. So I think it'll be interesting and should be should be cool to check out. I also want to check out the book Windfall because I've never read it and it sounds like it'd be good.
Yeah. And last but certainly not least, we have gotten a little bit more information about Philip Pullman's Book of Dust, Volume 1. So would you like to take that away, Brittany?
Yeah, I would. So the Book of Dust, Volume 1, actually has a title now, and it's La Belle Sauvage, and it's a boat. So all the other three books are about objects. They're named after the objects that they are looking for. At least the American versions, the first, the UK version, the Golden Compass is actually called Northern Lights, but here, named after an object, and it's this boat that belongs to an 11-year-old named Malcolm Polstead, and he is introduced in this excerpt that came out, and excerpt is like a strong word. This is a really long excerpt that was released, and it's from chapter 10 in the book, and it connects it. So this book takes place 10 or so years before the events of the Golden Compass with Lyra, and it's in this scene, we see Malcolm meeting Lord Aesirel, who is Lyra's father, and he needs to get to the convent where Lyra is being kept as an infant. And so Malcolm is the person who takes him there, and his father has him take him over in his boat, and they knock on like the shutters and they wake up the nuns, not the mean nuns, but the nice nuns who might be able to let this man in to see his child one last time because he's in danger. And I think it sets up enough excitement to where, like, how do we get to this point? What do we know about Malcolm going into this? What, like, cause it is from chapter 10. So it's really, I'm excited. I can't wait to go back into this world. And it makes me even more excited for the reread because, you know, just jumping ahead many years after this one scene is going to be exciting. And like I was saying earlier, there is a read-along that is happening this summer from June 6th through July 18th. So you've just about a month left to participate, and it's called Crack the Compass. And you can follow along on Philip Pullman's Facebook page.
Awesome. I'm weirdly excited for this book, even though I'm not super invested in the original trilogy yet. Maybe that'll change. But I just like how excited you and Natalie are, basically. All right. Well, that's it for us this week on Book Hype. Thank you guys once again for listening in. And like I said before, we will try to be a bit more consistent. That being said, I have no idea what's coming up next. We still have to talk about it. We've got some things on the back burner, including a book review that we're going to do eventually. And I do have a couple of authors maybe coming on the show. And, you know, we'll see what happens. If you guys have any ideas, please send them to us at Book Hype. That's very appreciated on Twitter. And yeah, just let us know what you think of this episode and of anything else you might want to hear us discuss. But until next time, I'm Karen.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.